I hope everyone had a good week. And I mean, midterms just happened for a lot of people. I think they're still gonna happen. Like, not everyone is done with it, so next week can look pretty busy. But hopefully everyone's like feeling relaxed. It's almost the end of the week, end of the month, and have fun this weekend. That's what I think most people are gonna do. Okay, I think it's working. So I'm gonna go on. I'm gonna carry on with the episode, because again, this episode has content. This is a heavy episode. Well, this is an episode of Certified Classics. Sometimes, like, there's been different versions of this show. There's been like different types of episodes. This is one on Certified Classics. It's a theme that I kind of want to explore. So every week I pick something classic and I judge it for what it claims to be. It's like a classic song, for example, is like Imagine by John Lennon, or like a classic movie would be Pulp Fiction. But it could also be other things outside of art, like Einstein is a classic. Yeah, because he's one of the smartest people you can think of. I mean, it's what comes to mind. So a classic is that's kind of the definition that I'm using right now. I'm still trying to figure out what I mean by that. But I'm fascinated by what people call classics and the nature of like symbols, symbolicness. So I wonder why things have a good reputation, because I'm interested in knowing, like, how should I think of things? Like, what if I hate something that everyone else loves? Like, is everyone else wrong? Or is there something right about what they're saying, and I should try to understand, like, what is it that people like about something that's popular, something that's, like, well-known? I feel like it's good to know how you should think about things like that. And like, for example, if I like something that everyone else likes, do I like it because I like it, or am I being influenced from what I hear about? So these are some things that I like to, that I wonder about. And classic things are, you're used to picturing them in a good way, because everyone talks good about them. Like, Einstein, he is one of the smartest people you know. So does he really deserve to be called a classic? That's what I want to ask. So every week I pick a new classic and I judge it for what it is. So a warning of disclosure. This is a philosophical study on the nature of things. My intention is to deliver a judgment free of personal opinion and build my case on facts. I kind of want to make a formula for what counts as a classic, or what, like, some sort of test to like run things by and see if it counts as classic. I make the promise of only sharing with you things that I find to be valid, truthful, and in the way that I can best communicate them. So this is an exploration of truth, and I want to make that known. I'm going to try my best to give that kind of judgment. So this week on the show, we're going to take a look at Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti. Physical Graffiti is one of those albums that I find really hard to listen to, but it has such an amazing reputation. Like, people like to say it's Led Zeppelin's best album, second best album. Like, it's really high up there. It's number two on Rolling Stone's top 10 Led Zeppelin albums, which is a very popular music magazine turned blog. And they can be like pretty official about these kinds of things. Like, they represent a lot of the majority, a lot of people, because they're ranked by the people themselves that go on the and vote. The fans go and vote. So It's like it's a source. It's one of the like more official sources, you could say. So the fact that it's ranked number 2 for top 10 Led Zeppelin albums means that a lot of people tend to like this. Also, just in this across like the spectrum of all albums, it's ranked number 44, 144, 144 on Rolling Stone's top 10 500 albums of all time. And it's ranked higher than John Lennon's Imagine album and Kanye West's Graduation, you know, for comparison. Just, 144 is actually kind of low. I was expecting it to be higher just because from the circles that I've been exposed to, physical graffiti usually is given like a lot of respect. So basically off that point is where I'm coming from. I have a feeling that physical graffiti is a classic because it features cashmere, and I think that's the only reason why people like it so much, because that's an idea that I'm considering, because there are a lot of good songs on that album, but Cashmere is like it stands out as Led Zeppelin's best song. And I don't know if the other songs, I don't know if Cashmere carries. I don't know how the others compare. I mean, is as an album, like if you want to say Physical Graffiti is a classic album, you're saying that every song on Physical Graffiti comes together to produce a classic album. You're basically saying that the album as a whole is good. And I want to look into this claim because I don't know. I want to know if the album is a classic by judging how enjoyable it is to listen to the album from start to finish. Not just focus on the singles, not just focus on the one good song or its reputation. I want to know if the album is actually enjoyable to listen to. So that's what I did. And I wrote notes about each of these songs to explain why I think they like what did they add to the album and if they added anything at all. Like, so if all of the songs added something, then the album is composed of good songs, really good songs. So if the album is composed of really good songs, why shouldn't the album be classic? That's basically my theory. Take a look at all the songs, and if they're good, that means the album is good, which means the album is, it can be called a classic, it could be highly respected, all of that counts. So the study of physical graffiti began. And this is it. So, I hope all that made a lot of. I hope like you're following along with what I'm saying, and that you're also interested in knowing what physical graffiti contains. Like, what is it made of? So the first song, the song that starts it all off, is called "Custard Pie," and the chorus of that song goes a bit like, it goes like this, goes like something something like custard pie. This song, I mean, this song is a classic on its own because, like, no matter how many times you play it, it's always like, what the hell, custard pie? Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is Led Zeppelin, this is Robert Plant's lyrics, so, like, half the words are, like, moans, the other third are mamas, and then, like, some words you have no idea what they are, but you can definitely hear, like, custard pie every now and then in this track. And it's like, why are you singing about custard pie? Like, I don't even know what that is. I tend to receive it pretty well. So it's a good song. Okay? The second song on the album is The Rover. And this one has an extraordinary introduction guitar. Like a an in like a if you needed an introduction to Jimmy Page. Like, this could be the song. This could be one of the songs. I mean, you could argue there's a lot of Led Zeppelin guitar riffs that are that define them. I shudder at the sound of this one. It's a really good GIF. It's a really good riff, and it's jaw-dropping every time I hear it. So the Rover, again, I mean, it's a great song. It's a great add to this album. Another interesting note about the Rover is that, like, I think it has an interesting concept similar to Custard Pie, because the chorus goes like, "If we could just hold hands," and that repeats over and over again. Basically, like, I don't know if this is supposed to be obvious, but when I hear that, like, is the Rover in reference to Red Rover, the game that you would play in school, where you would build a wall with your team, and like the opposing side would send a kid to run into your wall, and then you had to keep the wall by holding hands and not letting go? The Rover, Red Rover, if we could just hold hands. I'm sensing a connection there, and I find that connection to be like lighthearted. Like, it's great to know that Led Zeppelin would make a song in reference to this. So I like that. I like this song because it's great to listen to, and it's got like a cool concept. The next song on Graffiti is In My Time of Dying, and this is where things get questionable. It's like the first time you hear the song, you're gonna hate it, and you're gonna hate it for like a really long time, because it's 11 minutes long, and it's like so much guitar. It's like you really have to like this type of music, these like epic long compositions of like so many different arrangements, and like you really have to like that. So I don't know, does this song add to Physical Graffiti? Is it a good song? I mean, the concept is really cool. Let's talk about that, because In My Time of Dying is about someone who's having the last moments on Earth, who's dying. And as the character in the song is dying, he has a vision of heaven, and we hear of him like trying to negotiate or like beg or plead to the angels of heaven to let him into paradise. And like that's a really cool story. Like, that's a good concept for a song. That's like an opera in a song. Kinda, you know, all things considered. I mean, you don't get that from many songs nowadays. So it is a special song. It's kind of genius. But this song is inside of an album, and there are 15 songs on this album. Can a reasonable person take that much music? This is the third song in. Like, a reasonable person has an attention span, and they can only dedicate so much to enjoying music. If it happens to everyone, like, you just can't listen to music for that long, because like you just lose, like you just get bored, you lose interest. So when we're talking about like how good Physical Graffiti is, and like the point is to listen to it from start to finish, and it's 15 songs long, and the third song in is 11 minutes long, then you know that this is going to be a long album. And I don't know if it's really possible for a reasonable person to sit down and pay attention to this album from start to finish. That's what I was thinking. So that's In My Time of Dying. Let's move on to the next song. Houses of the Holy plays next. And in this context, in the context of the album, this song really pops out. Like, it's picking up from where the Rover left off with a captivating riff. Like, we just heard In My Time of Dying, like this long, like kind of a Yeah, it drags out a bit, and the Houses of the Holy is like completely different. It's fast, it's just a decent length. It also just has a cool name. Like, that's definitely something that adds to Led Zeppelin's like catalog and to Physical Graffiti, because you get names like Houses of the Holy, which provokes like you're expecting a like something special out of this song. It provokes like it makes you see Led Zeppelin as some kind of gods. Like when they're singing about like holy, and I mean the song just before is about like going to heaven-ish, but like not making it into heaven. Like you're getting all of these like holy gothic types of like themes. So that also adds to Led Zeppelin's image. Like you just relate them to be you relate them to these terms. And that's kind of cool. That's kind of epic in its own way. Then let's see the next song. The next song is Trampled Underfoot. And this song is arguably another classic, inspired by Stevie Wonder and his song Superstition. It goes hard on many playlists. However, it's honestly it's hard to appreciate it in the album because it sounds so similar to the songs, the three songs that were just ahead of it. Maybe poor placement, or maybe that was just how I interpreted it. So it's a good song. It's a funk. It's like it's supposed to be funk rock, like nice. But I felt that in the album, I don't know. But we'll give that one a pass. It still adds something to the Physical Graffiti. I mean, it's still a good song, and that's the criteria we're going off. Is Physical Graffiti composed of good songs? It's hard to believe that the next song is already Kashmir, but it is. Not a whole freaking much can be said about Kashmir, except that it's amazing. I think so. I mean, I think that it's a well-known song. We'll find out later in the episode. But it's one of those songs that like it leaves you breathless. Like it's just recognized. It's such an amazing song. Led Zeppelin's reputation. I know there's like it's. I know it hangs on Stairway to Heaven. I can't like symbolically like people tend to relate Led Zeppelin to Stairway to Heaven, but seriously though, like Kashmir is their song. A few facts about the song. I don't know when it was created. I mean, it's been played live at every single one of their concerts ever since. I guess like that's a special treatment for the song. It's definitely a fan favorite. What else can we say about it? It's an amazing song. I want to point out the inclusion of violins in it because it's commonly known. In like it's commonly known that violins are a symbol of class. Like they add classicness. And like Eleanor Rigby, the Beatles song, pretty much carries this idea. But an argument could be made that Viva La Vida, I mean, carries the torch. Like violins add an effect to a song that gets it like takes the song and makes it like a glorified song. I think so. I think it does. Like it adds something special and that adds a lot to class. Like that's basically what we're talking about here. Kashmir adds to Physical Graffiti because of the use of violins. That could be one of the reasons, right? So, why one? So that's Kashmir. That's Kashmir. Why say more about it? It's there. The next song on the album is called In the Light. And this song actually manages to shock the listener more than Kashmir does. Which is saying a lot. Kashmir is like, it's so recognized. It's got the violins. But this one, In the Light, has a distinct, like, Arabic sound to it. And, like, you don't hear that. You certainly don't expect to hear something like that. But this song, it does. I mean, it's a creative, it's a moment of, like, geniusness by these guys that they can give it an Arabic feel to it. Yeah. However, you know, this song, In the Light, it's 4 minutes long, it's 3 minutes long. It's a short song, right? No, it's not. It drags on for 10 minutes. And this makes absolute crap for rock music, to be completely honest. Because it's really hard to distinguish a proper chorus in this song, which is, it's great for like classical music or Radiohead, but not for rock, not for classic rock, to be honest. Like, it's really hard to want this song to happen either on the radio or in a playlist or like in anywhere other than maybe a live concert. But again, it's a 10 minute long song. Like, could you, like, do you really want to hear this song, or would you rather hear part of a few other of Led Zeppelin's catalog that is like better known? That's my question. I think that on a rock album, it's just gonna get skipped. Like, if you don't have to listen to the song, it's easier to. On its own, maybe it has a lot of worth on its own, but I don't know if it adds something to the album. Okay, so Braniar, the song that comes after, is a short acoustic instrumental, which actually comes as a relief to the listener because it gives you a break from this electric guitar mayhem. You've just experienced Kashmir and In the Light, two very guitar-heavy songs, or just they're long songs, and Braniar is a peaceful, calming, satisfying song. It's short. It ends on a proper note, and it's a good way to just close off the album. Never mind, actually. There's another seven. There's another seven songs. I hope it doesn't actually close off the album. Braniar would have been a proper end to the album. There are another seven songs that come after it. So, by the time I got here, like, it's just, okay, let's just go into these seven songs and let's see what I think about them. Okay, number one, Down by the Seaside is cool because it sounds like Neil Young, but other than that, it's kind of forgettable. 10 Years Gone is supposed to be this deep song about Robert Plant and his feelings, but I don't remember anything about it. Like, I know that it's supposed to mean something, but I mean, think about it. This song is the 10th song into this album, and we've already had some very long songs. And this one's another, it's pushing 7 minutes. So, I don't know. I don't think it went so well. Like, there's already so much music in this album. Okay, the next one is Night Flight. And this one's about meeting someone in the morning and then meeting them in the middle of the night. It's a goofy chorus. Meet me in the morning. Kind of along the lines of Custard Pie. Yeah, meet me in the morning, yeah. Like, I don't know. You can feel inspired by that. It's a digestible song. But, okay, what's next? The Wonton Song. Wontons, though, like, I didn't get this one. There was no rev. Like, this one, it had a guitar riff comparable to some of the other songs on the list, like Houses of the Holy, but not nearly as good. At this point in the album, what did it add? What did its presence add? It's just a, it's a less impressive. It's got a less impressive riff. It's one of the least memorable too. I mean, Boogie with a Stew is next, and this one uses clapping as a backing instrument. Yeah, just like a sing-along type of vibe. I don't know what really to say about this. It goes hard in the carnival. Like, I don't know how Boogie with the Stew adds something to this album. It honestly feels like it could have gone without it, and the album would have been fine. And that's what it feels like for pretty much the songs that come after it too. So I'll just give a quick description of them as I've been doing. Black Country Woman is next, and this one's like pretty weird concept. It's deep, disturbing. It's kind of hard to put on a playlist. It's like it's pushing the boundaries of like what counts as a song. And I mean, it's fine to have some of those on the on you know, one per album, something like that. But like this album's already had a few, so this is like another one that's like kind of weird. And Sick Again is the last song that puts an end to the second half of a disaster. I feel like throwing away my speakers after listening to this. Like, that's how I was feeling by the end of the album, because it has just gone on for too long. I was ready to do something else. So that's my experience with Physical Graffiti. And you'll see that at the beginning, I was looking forward to doing this. Like, I wrote like better, more positive things about each of the songs, and then towards the end, I had increasingly less to say, and it was harder to like find value for these songs. So this will help answer the initial question that I came into the show with, that gives this all a reason, which is basically, do the albums on this song come together to make it a classic album? Evidently not. The album is not meant, is was not made to be played all together. You're not supposed to listen to it from start to finish, because the second half is just underwhelming tracks one after the other. It would have been impossible for Led Zeppelin to release the second half of this album on its own and have it gain success and recognition. There's the good songs were obviously strategically placed on the first half of the album, so you would enjoy it for the most part. So, I mean, the album as a whole is not good, but I mean the first side is pretty good. So, I mean, you can still say you like Physical Graffiti if you listen to the first 8 songs consecutively, right? I mean, they are part of the album. If you like all of those songs, then why couldn't you say that Physical Graffiti is a good album? So, there seems to be a new question now, which is it. Is there another way? Is there, like, people who like this album, I'm sure they understand that the second half is not good, but they still like it. They still like it for the first 8 songs. So, and that's why they call it a classic. They say Physical Graffiti is ranked number two on Rolling Stone's top 10 Led Zeppelin albums because the first eight songs are really good. So I had to go back and kind of assess a new criteria for classic status. Because the earlier, what I had said earlier, a classic album is one that is made up of only good songs. Is, I mean, this clearly does not categorize Physical Graffiti as a classic. So, but people still think it is a classic. So I don't know if this is enough to prove that it's not. Maybe a second criteria could be used, and this is what it is. Classic stuff, not only is it like filled with good, but it's also instantly recognized. As symbols are known to be recognized. When you think of Batman, you instantly think of the Joker. He is Batman's classic enemy. So classic stuff is can also be identified by seeing how easily people identify with it. So the next question is, Physical Graffiti, is it, can it, does it have classic status because people know what it is? I think maybe that's true. It's possible. The average person knows Kashmir, and music fans would definitely know some of these songs like Trampled Underfoot or Houses of the Holy. And so maybe that's why Physical Graffiti is considered a classic, just because everyone knows of it. So I went to pro I went out to see if this was true. Is this if this was a proper factual thing. So I ran a small time survey on a random handful of people around Wilfrid Laurier campus. The survey was quick to the point. It was, it wasted no time chit-chatting and small talking. And this said, what does Physical Graffiti mean to you? And I wanted to know what people would say. If the majority of people were like, oh, that's Led Zeppelin's classic album, then that would be evidence, like that would help prove the point that Physical Graffiti is a classic album. But let's see how the survey went. I'm gonna give you the data. So 12 out of 13 people said they didn't know what that meant. Yes, what does Physical Graffiti mean to you? 12 out of 13 people said, I don't know. That's their first answer. And for a lot of people, that was it. That was all their answer. Three people made the connection to a building. Oh, something along the lines of Physical Graffiti. Graffiti is art on buildings. So, do you mean that? No one brought up Led Zeppelin, which surprised me. I thought honestly people would. Well, I thought it was like an obvious question. So the following question. So after people let me know that they didn't know what it was, I asked the following question, and to see like to maybe like maybe they know about it, but it's like deep in their system or something like that. So I asked them, like, Physical Graffiti, would you think it's more likely to mean a physical exercise or the name of a music album? And I was hoping to see if like maybe people would be like, oh yeah, it could be. Oh yeah, isn't it Led Zeppelin? But this is what I got. Three people thought it was more likely that it was a physical exercise. Someone said, two people decided it was an album. So less people related it with music than I thought. And when I asked them, like, what type of album could it be, they said they, no idea what it would be, but it would not be popular. So that's the data. I was surprised by this. I thought physical graffiti was, like, immensely recognized. Like, at the beginning of the episode when I said, I mean, I'm basing this whole study off the idea that that physical graffiti is one of these things that people really like. And I want to know how I should feel about it. But it seems to be something that nobody really knows. Nobody talks about. No one has an opinion on it. So, according to... So according to the criteria that I just set, that's another thing. A classic is something that's easily recognized, like a symbol. This would prove that physical graffiti is not a classic thing at all. So basically the two tests that I ran by physical graffiti this week proved to me that it's not a classic. As a whole, it's not a very good album. There are some good songs. Half of it is good, half of it is crap. So that's only 50% of a good album. Which is technically a pass, I do realize. But we're going to ignore that for now. The other bit of information we got is that a small sample of people that I surveyed all agreed that they had no idea what physical graffiti was. So it's not recognized either. It's not a symbolic thing for the average person. And again, there's a few contexts where this would be different, but we're going to ignore that for now. Just to make it easy, it's fair to say that given these two facts, physical graffiti should not be considered a classic. And that pretty much answers my initial question. So that's that judgment. That satisfies it for me. That answers my question. It does. Physical graffiti is given a reputation. It's overhyped. It's people just have an opinion that's a really high opinion on it, and it's not based on what it actually is. The album sucks. It's hard to listen to, and most people don't listen to it. It's not recognized. Physical graffiti needs to be taken off whatever pedestal you have placed it on. So that's the case study for this week. It was resolved. So I'm going to take a break from talking about physical graffiti. That's a lot to process, I know. It was a lot to think about. So we're just gonna take some time for ourselves, relax, and then we'll come back with some closing remarks, something like that, in just a few minutes. Okay then. Enjoy some of this music that I chose for you. And, try your best to enjoy it. So, as I was saying, what is this episode about? What can we get out of this? Because there was a lot to say about physical graffiti. And for a lot of people, this is the first time they're hearing about this album. For them, it's like, oh, for a lot of people, them, it's like, okay, well, so now I know a bit about Physical Graffiti. That's a good introduction to Led Zeppelin, and I mean what they are, and like what. I'm basically telling you that this album is not very good. So okay, I'm not gonna listen to it. And but like, what's the point of that? What's the point of this? What's the takeaway from that? Is that all I want to say? So what am I trying to say? Maybe I did prove that Physical Graffiti is not classic. And I mean, now what? Is classicness a line worth pursuing? I feel like I lost my train of thought here, which is a shame, because I feel like there's so much to take away from this that's beyond just knowing, just beyond having an opinion on Physical Graffiti. I think I just want to reflect a bit about the episode, and it's like, it's hard to put it into words right now. So I'm gonna take some time to think about it. I'm gonna see what else I can do with this concept, if it's worth, what else can I think about? What else can I judge? Like, is it hard to decide if something is classic or not? Is that worthwhile? Essentially, I have to go back and kind of think about the concept of this show and see, like, and see what's good about it, how I can make it better, and maybe lose the parts that don't add. So I'm going to leave it for that. I'm going to leave it at that. We're going to see what next week comes up. So until then, be safe. Take care. We'll see each other next week. We'll see each other next week. We'll do this again. Thank you. Good night. This has been the Radio Hour. Good night.